You need to tell me your name again because I have no clue.
My real name, or
it's your choice. What you like?
Well, I'm Arcane of Dark Light and How Job, and I'm
enjoying the Evoke.
I am. It's the first time I'm actually at Evoke now since 13 years. I was at Evoke in 2000 in Langevea. And it was really, really good, actually. It was a brilliant party. But then I never really came back until now. And it's been 30 years. And, city changed. Everything changed. But organized.
You changed.
Basically the same. Yeah, I mean, we're all older, obviously. But I have to say, it's a really, really nice party.
Yeah, I've heard it has never been as full as today. How was it the first time you have been on the Evoke?
In 2000, it was rather small. I would say maybe 120 people or so, roughly. It was like I think it was kind of a gym hall, theater or something, where there was a small stage, and next door they had a bar that I didn't actually use, but we could get glasses from there. And downstairs they had a refrigerator room, so we could actually cool the beer and get a fresh glass of beer all the time. And in 2000, normally they wouldn't even sell beer at parties. It was still, young.
Okay, so maybe we go back to the roots of your demo scene experience.
I basically started around 94, or started being active around 94. I founded the kindergarten party in Norway in September 94. So next year we're actually turning 20 years. We're the oldest still running demo party in the world that's pure demo. Only beaten by Assembly, The Gathering, and Auskal in Spain. But they're all catering more to the gaming scene, while we're purely demo scene. And I basically started doing that in 94, and I used to run a BBS back in the days as well. Obviously you can't really do that after the internet came along, but so I've been doing the kindergarten, and then in 2000, in January, I started the Schlenkung website. Basically as a result of a hotel room party at the party in 99 in Denmark, because it started to be kind of a gaming event. But then all of us mostly hung out at the hotel instead, because there we could sit and party and meet all the foreigners and drink beer and enjoy ourselves. And then there were, I think it was Kure from Finland, who started putting pictures up from the party that we had. And then Sixpack and I of Howjob figured that it would be nice to just have like one spot to go to where you can always find pictures from parties. So we just made that, and then we needed to call it something, so we decided to call it Schlenkung, after a word that had been really popular at the party. Basically, it literally translated to German, it means Schleudersack.
Beautiful name.
So it's basically, and of course, sack is supposed to then be your ball sack. And it's a ball sack swinging from girl to girl. So it means a guy who is fucking around, basically. And my dad got this book for Christmas in 99 that was like curse words from various dialects up north in Norway, and it had this word in it. So I told Torby, XXX of Howjob, about this word, and he thought it was so funny. So he walked around like the whole party in 99, calling everyone a Schlenkung. Oh, hello, my Schlenkung, how are you doing? Of course, we were many Norwegians there, and they always found that very funny. And then so we needed a name, and we just called it Schlenkung, really.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it just happened, sort of.
Tell me something about what you do on a demo scene. Do you region any competitions? Have you something?
Well, nowadays I mostly stick with organizing the kindergarten party. In 2008, I actually made a demo. It's actually the only demo I ever made. I normally work as a Linux system administrator, so I work a lot with bash scripting. So I made a demo in Bash, synchronized with music and ANSI graphics and vector cubes and fractal landscape and stuff in Bash, which was a fucking pain in the ass. But I'm quite happy with the result. I think I got third place at kindergarten in 2008 with that.
Nice.
Thing. Yeah, I'm happy with it.
So, tell something about how the demo scene developed in all the years.
Well, in the early days, it was actually, it was much bigger. The biggest kindergarten we ever had was in 96.
It was bigger?
Yeah, it was much bigger. Kindergarten started out as a pure Amiga party. PC wasn't really big at the time. Yeah, it's starting to kind of get there, but it was still, Amiga was the thing. So the kindergarten was a pure Amiga party up until 98, I think. And in 96 was the biggest one we ever had. There were like 350 people there, all Amigas. There's no networking or anything. It's just like a bunch of Amigas and people meeting and drinking and having compos and everything. But then after that, it started declining. And in around 99, 2000, it was just generally quiet. But then there started to be more new people again, and PC was starting to take off. Amiga was basically retracting a bit into the background, and the PC scene basically grew into the whole thing. I think actually the first time we had PC competitions, we called them PC Labor Compo.
Okay.
Just as a pun, if you want to compete in our PC Compo, you're going to have to adjust to the fact that we call it a PC Labor Compo. Just kind of a thing of the time, really. Eager competition between the platforms.
Yeah.
First the Atari, the Amiga, and then the Amiga and the PC.
Have you seen any of the new compos here on the Evoke?
No, I haven't actually seen any of the really new one. I saw like the animation compo now. I really like that. There were some really nice entries there. And this is kind of the thing. Evoke is a good sized party. I think it's not too big. The smaller parties very often have their charm because you can more easily get to know new people. The big part is like Revision are really good because you get to know all the people that you always meet, kind of, and they come from all over the world. But the smaller parties, you actually get to know people. And I think Evoke has a really nice size for that. Here I can meet all the people I very often meet in Germany, plus I get to know more people, new people, and there's always some new guys here. I met a guy who's here for the first time at a demo party. Someone who's been here for like, I think it was like his third party, and he was very, wasn't really sure about what to think at first, and then he decided he should just like go and see what it is. And the people are just so nice. This is one of the really, really big strengths of the demo scene, I think, that you can talk with anyone. People are generally very open. They're intelligent. You can discuss lots of strange stuff with them, but you can discuss, science, computers, politics, geography, whatever, really. And people are just nice.
Have you thought about making new compos in Norwegian?
We stick to a few of our traditional compos as well. We've been having the ASCII compo now for, 18 years or something. But the same length, we also had a very specific competition at kindergarten called the Gabber compo.
Say again?
The Gabber compo.
Okay.
Gabber house music. It's Habba, actually. It's Dutch, really high beat, completely fucked up electronic music, basically.
Okay.
And so on. And this was apparently, this was really big in like 95 or something like that in Holland. And it's so hard, it's kind of awful, but it's curiously fucked up in a way. So we decided to have a Gabber competition, and we still do. So we've been having a Gebber competition for very many years after Gebber actually died, because I think it lasted just like 2 years or something. So
I was thinking about
these.
What you told. You said something about the demo scene was way bigger in the beginning.
Well, earlier, yeah, because in like 94, 95, there were always, you know, tons of smaller parties as well. This is actually something that I think is very good now that Nordlicht has started as well. So you have like a new German party, a smaller party, like 100, 150 people or something, okay. I think, in Bremen. And I think it's really good that there are more smaller parties, because the smaller parties are really more intimate. You get to know people. Mm-hmm. You make new friends.
Learn something.
Yeah, you do. And the big parties have their advantage because you always meet the people there. But the smaller parties are closer, like emotionally, I think.
More value to the individual.
Yeah, more value to getting to know new people, making more new friends. And it can be a bit easier to get into the thing if you actually go to a smaller party, because then you actually get to talk with people. Mm. If you're at a big party, you can very easily, if you're new, you can be kind of in awe of the whole thing. But if you go to a smaller one, you can talk with everyone because they're always around you anyway, because there are only so many people.
So you came to Germany, to Cologne, just for the Evoke? Or
Yeah.
Seriously?
I'm just here for the Evoke, yeah.
Okay, cool, because next week we have a lot of other stuff about gaming, digital arts,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I know. I would really like to go, but we're actually having some friends over from France on Monday.
Okay.
So we have to be back, and then we're going to be touring Norway for like a week.
Okay.
Show them around, basically.
Something totally different, if you like to tell about it. Party about the pirates?
Yeah, I'm the co-chairman of the Norwegian Pirate Party. We're running for the election now. 9th of September is the governmental election in Norway.
Mm-hmm. That was the first pirate party in the world?
No, that was a Swedish one.
Okay.
The Swedish one was founded in 2006 by Rick Falk Vinge.
Okay.
And our party is very new. We were officially registered in January this year, so we're like
half
a year old.
Yeah.
We started basically a year ago. We needed to gather 5,000 signatures to register and set up everything in office. So we're basically half a year old and running for the election this year.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's very, very interesting, and it's very important.
What did it take so long for Norwegian to get a pirate party there?
Well, there were actually two attempts before us. The first one basically started, but I think they were lacking a bit of the necessary people, so to speak. They did a few things that you could kind of see that they weren't really professional at what they were doing, and they were coming across as a bit amateur-ish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but you know, you could find you know, official statements with lots of grammar errors, and it just didn't look good, really.
Yeah.
But then, but then that kind of stranded. And later, there was some of the Swedish pirates came to Norway, and they tried to start up a new Norwegian party, and it basically went quite well for a while. At this time, I was a member of this organization called Freebits, which was working to influence the politicians rather than be a politician, kind of, you know, answering to hearings and things like this. So I chose not to join in the Pirate Party at that time, because I already was working on the same thing from another angle, kind of. And then roughly a year ago, there were all of a sudden talks about starting, trying to start it again, because the previous one failed as well. I'm not actually really sure why, but it kind of died away slowly.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden I heard like Håkon Wiemli, the CTO of Opera Software, the browser.
Yeah.
He is basically in on it. He is a board member of the Norwegian Pirate Party, and is a very well-known and famous face in Norway. Norway.
Yeah.
We basically had the right people starting it for the right reasons and being serious about this.
Yeah.
So I decided to join in as well, and then we started building the party.
What are the main subjects in Norway?
Well, it's generally to try to maintain the I would probably call it the foundation of Western society as such. You know, keep our liberal rights, court of law, all of these things are under threat now. And the whole thing is basically that they're under threat through surveillance, censorship, and all of this by using the internet, basically. But it's being done in such a way that most people don't really understand what's going on, because the arena is new, and they don't understand the arena. But the topics are well known. I mean, we've
1984.
But even
that wasn't
your grandparents are completely aware about the problem of surveillance.
Yes,
it's just a new arena, and they don't understand the internet,
which was very nice, because at the same time I had an interview with a 14-year-old girl, and it was just stunning what the old lady could tell me, and the child didn't know about it.
It's just like that. If you don't understand something, then it's difficult to see the problem as well. But after the Snowden case now, I noticed that we have an increase in very typically like middle-aged men.
Okay.
Because they start seeing that there's a lot of things that's problematic about all the stuff that's been disclosed by Snowden now.
How did the Norwegian people react on all that?
Well, politicians in general don't say anything.
Yeah, the same in Germany.
It's very difficult to make them say anything. And I think it was like 4 or 5 days or so, Aftenposten, like one of the really big, biggest newspaper in Norway, managed to have a talk with our Minister of Defense, I think it was. Out of, 9 out of 10 questions, she would say, no comment, I can't say anything about that because that's classified information. You know, security of state. And,
of course.
Yeah. But at the same time, I also had a small notice in the same newspaper, because I realized that both Keith Alexander, the chief of the NSA, and the guy who is in charge of all of the Nachricht, in the States, like the main guy for all of that, both of them were actually knighted under the Royal Order of this and that in this governmental period.
Okay.
And the only stated reason on the official website is that they have done outstanding work for the American and Norwegian Defense Corporation. So, what have they actually done then? I mean, why are they being rewarded so much in light of the Snowden revelations? What is the Norwegian government doing? Well, no one's saying anything. And all the politicians are basically just trying to hope that this will kind of fade away. So they're trying to make the focus of the election campaign now is all about health, care of the elderly, and taxes. And they're kind of just trying to, not talk about this whole big problem of surveillance. I mean, it's a serious problem. I really do not like seeing the Western world heading in this direction. And I think also many among the German people actually see this more clearly, because you have a very recent history, you have a memory of Stasi, you have memory.
Do you believe that we are more sensitive to that subject?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The three nations that have been the most eager to use the internet for surveillance is USA, England, and France. those three countries happen to be the three countries that more or less invented the liberalism of Europe. You know, with the French Revolution, all the English rules about code of law and everything, and America is being founded in 1776 based on all of these principles. They basically led all of the Western world into this liberal, free society that we have. And at the same time, these three countries kind of seem to be the worst at breaking all those rules.
Yeah.
But freedom is something that you can't win freedom and then you have freedom. Freedom is something that you always have to watch out for. And these trends in the Western world now, I find this way more scary than terrorism. I mean, terrorism is so based on fear and scaring people into being afraid of others and each other. I got a copy of the Daily Mirror at London when I went down here. I changed flights in London, and there was a big full-page article about how someone had realized that you could actually have female suicide bombers who wanted to attack planes, and they could do chemical boob implants that could be triggered by electronics or by injection of a different substance that would make the whole thing kind of explode, and they would be suicide bombers going on the plane, and how we don't have any detection system for this, and how this is a big problem. I mean, this is just fear. Why the hell is this news at all? I mean, if I wanted to, you know, make some terror, why the hell would I want to sneak on board of a plane to do it in the first place? I mean, I could just go into the terminal and blow myself up. Why the hell is, you know, female potential bomb breast implants a problem of society?
We have gone from the beautiful demo scene party to bombing breasts.
Yeah, true. But
this was a very nice talk.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
I would say enjoy the party and the night.
You too.
Thank you very much.
It's really great.
Thank you.